Good morning. Thank you so much to everyone for coming out. Thank you again to Revitin Lipner for teaching the wonderful Torah. As I just copied the link to the source sheet in the chat, I'll just copy it one more time. And what I'd like to talk about is, as the title suggests, is finding Shavuot on the calendar. And it's a little bit more difficult to find Shavuot on the calendar. Why? My kids at school, we get a lot of nice calendars. I want to look for Shavuot. So let's say they didn't have Shavuot listed. It makes it very convenient that they do. So what would I do? It would be very hard, and it's very hard because the Torah doesn't give a date for Shavuot. And of course, Shavuot in the Torah does not mention Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. But if we look at the Torah sources describing Matan Torah and actually the Talmud giving more insight into that, it also doesn't give us a direct date. So the question is, how do we find Shavuot on the calendar? So what I want to explore with you the next couple of minutes is, one, why isn't Shavuot on the calendar? What may be behind it? And two, I think what we'll see is that the fact that Shavuot isn't on the calendar gives us an insight into the holiday and allows us to experience it in a more authentic way. But, okay, so I say that the Torah doesn't give a date for Shavuot, but what other method might we use to find out when Shavuot is, even if we don't have a calendar date? So we have Sfiras HaOmer, right? Last night, if memory serves correctly, we counted 42 days of the Omer, which is 6 weeks of the Omer. So we're getting into the home stretch. Okay, so when do we start counting Sfiras HaOmer? We count the second night of Pesach. It was a challenge to remember to do that because you don't get your Sfira app doesn't send you the text till the next day. So you don't want to be out on day one. But okay, we start there. And then we count. We count 7 weeks. We count 49 days. And then we land in Shavuos. It would seem to be simple. But if we look at the Torah's description of when Shavuot falls out and how to count up to Shavuot, so it's not exactly so clear. Why? If you look at source number one, and again, this doesn't tell us necessarily about Matan Torah. We'll see about Matan Torah. This just tells us about how to arrive at Shavuot through the counting of the Omer. So what does it say? Source number one, Usfartem lachem mimacharat ha-Shabbat. Count for yourself from the day, what does it say? The day after Shabbat. I always knew it to be counting on the second night of Pesach. But it says the day after Shabbat. Miyom ha-Biyachem es ha-Omer tufa, from the day that you bring the Omer of the waving. Sheva Shabbatot, 7 Shabbatot, right? We generally translate it as 7 weeks, but the fact is the Torah has another way of telling us weeks. How does it tell us weeks? Shavuot. But it says Sheva Shabbatot, so you count from the day after Shabbat, you count 7 Shabbatot, until Ad Macharat HaShabbat HaShvi'i Tisberu, until the day after the 7th Shabbat, you shall count. And then you bring, which is 50 days, and then you bring the Mincha Chadasha, and you bring the offerings of Shavuot. But if you just look at the verses, so at least what day of a week of the week do you think Shavuot will fall out on? Every year. Mimacharat HaShabbat. The day after Shabbat. So it'd probably be Sunday. And it would seem to be, this procedure would seem to be, so we bring the Omer offering on, brings on somewhere around Pesach, we'll see. And it would seem to be from wherever it is, the Mimacharat HaShabbat, from the Shabbat afterwards, we would count 7 Shabbatot, and then, seemingly at a Sunday morning, you know, we can have bagels or whatever, and it would seem to be that every year, Shavuot would occur on a Sunday. Now, it begins on a Sunday this year, begins Sunday night, so it's really on a Monday. So from our own experience, it doesn't seem like that's the case. And this was a the big challenge of different sects within the Jewish people, particularly those who didn't accept the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral Torah. On our Sinai, we received the Torah Shebechtav, the written Torah that we have now, and also an oral tradition explaining all of the laws in the Torah and telling us how to interpret the Torah. And this is very significant because if we didn't have the oral Torah, there would be a lot of things that would be unclear. For the mitzvah of tefillin, the Torah refers to it as totafot. Now, I don't really know what totafot are. For that matter, I don't really know what phylacteries are. But it doesn't tell us really what they are. But there is a halacha to Moshe Mitzinai. There is a halacha that was a law that was given to Moshe at Sinai, certain things, that they have to be black, that they have to be square, and things like that. We also could be an indication that the Torah says that you can't have a kindled fire in your dwelling places. So the sects that didn't accept the oral tradition said that means you can't have any light. You can't have any hot food. You can't have any light. As they said, you can't have a fire kindled in your house. So it's very significant, the fact that we have the oral law. So if we didn't have the oral law, we would think it would be very reasonable to say that Shavuot would always be on a Sunday. So source number two just notes that we actually have a reference of Shavuot there. It actually uses weeks and describes the offerings that are brought. But the way to get there, we're told, is counting from Macharat HaShabbat, in counting seven Shabbatot until the Macharat HaShabbat, the day after Shabbat of the seventh week. So the Talmud records the disputes between those sects that didn't accept the oral Torah. Here it talks about the Bethusians, a breakoff, or maybe a similar group as the Sadducees, that Stukim. So they would challenge that the festival of Shavuot always falls on a Sunday. Again, based on the direct reading of the verse, it seems to be very reasonable. So they would say in source number three, Baitusi and Omrim, the Bethusians would say, Atzeres Achar HaShabbat. And Atzeres, which is the word that frequently appears in the Talmud for the holiday of Shavuot, that falls on the day after Shabbat. So we don't have that tradition. And the rabbis, those who accepted the oral Torah and accepted that I was an indispensable part of the Torah, of understanding the Torah, so they challenged back. They said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, he got involved in a conversation, so he said, Ashotim, you fools. He didn't mince any words. And at that time, this was in the Second Temple period, there were great tensions between these different groups. And so he didn't mince words, and he said, Ashotim, you fools, minayim lachem. So where do you come up with the idea that that Shavuot must always be on a Sunday? So apparently he stumped them. I don't know. I think it would be rather straightforward. But if this one person was brave enough to respond to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I said, he didn't actually respond that the verses seem to say directly that it occurs on a Sunday morning. Rather, he tried to appeal to emotions. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Yisrael Haya, that Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, the Odeya Shatzeres Yom Echad Hu, and he knew that unlike the other festival, Shavuot is only one day. Amad b'tikne achar Shabbat k'day shiyu Yisrael is angim shnei yamim. So he fixed that Shavuot would always be after Shabbat, so you'd have a nice long weekend, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was very considerate. He wanted the Jews to have some extra time off. So that was the argument of this heretic. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responded that it was clear he was trying to be provocative. But he said, if Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Yisrael, this is in source number five, if Moshe Rabbeinu really loved the Jewish people, why did he cause them to wander in the desert for 40 years? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, again, Shota, that our perfect Torah should not be as worthy as your frivolous speech, or your frivolous speech will not be as worthy as our holy and perfect Torah. He says it's not the case, but he's making an argument, just trying to appeal to emotions. So then the Talmud continues and quotes about 10 proofs to demonstrate that we don't count from the day after Shabbat, always from a Sunday, but rather we start counting from the seventh day of Pesach. So I'll just present quickly two of the proofs that were actually accepted. The Talmud says are pretty solid. Source number six, it puts it in context. If you compare it then to number one, source number six says, Nemra Shabbat Lamata v'Nemra Shabbat Lamala. It says Shabbat in the latter part of the verse, in the passage in source number one, right? It says, V'sorten lachem macharat ha-Shabbat, number one, and then it says, Ad macharat ha-Shabbat ha-Shvi tisperu. So it says, you know, in the second case, macharat ha-Shabbat means after the festival, refers to the festival day, refers to Shavuot, however you get there. He said it must be that first Shabbat refers to the beginning of the festival. So he presents a connection between those two. That just the context of the second one indicates the context of the first one. Then in source number seven on the second page, it brings in another argument. And it says that there's a law that you're not allowed to have grain that took root within the past year, that was within the current year after the second day of Pesach. That's why many products are labeled Yoshon, that they're from the older crop. But once the Omer is brought, then you're allowed to have from the new crop. So it brings a proof from there. Shimon ben Elazar brings a proof from there. He says, the Torah says in one place, Shesh is yamim tochal matzot, for 6 days you should eat matzot. And in one place it says, Shivas yamim matzot tochelu. It's 7 days you should eat matzot. So which one is it, six or seven? So Gemara answers, why does it have the discrepancy between six and seven? So it means there's a mitzvah to eat matzah or a prohibition of eating chametz for 7 days. For six of those days, once the Omer has been brought, you can have matzah made from the new grain, the grain that took root within that within the bringing of the Omer and second day of Pesach and now. So I just bring these, each of those things, we could look at it more in depth, but I bring these just to show that the rabbis had solid responses to these claims. And we have a firm basis, even based on the verses themselves, that the time till Shavuot is counted from the second day of Pesach, which is, of course, what we do. So, according to this first part, that the Torah doesn't mention a day of Shavuot, which left it up, not only doesn't mention it, it says it in language that in a direct reading we would think doesn't mean what it means. And because of that ambiguity, the many, many sects who, you know, at least adopted some Jewish practices counted on the incorrect day, and including I think there's a holiday that's celebrated, I think, in some Christian circles, the Pentecost or Pentecostal holiday, and that's like Shavuot. It happens around the same time, and also always occurs on a Sunday, right? The holiday of 7 weeks always occurs on a Sunday. So it seems like anyone who didn't have the Oral Torah thought that the holiday would happen on a Sunday. So why did the Torah leave it ambiguous in the written Torah? I think it's to show the centrality and the indispensability of the oral Torah. Meaning we can't possibly understand any area of the Torah, even those that seem a little bit more clear, without the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah. I think particularly when it comes to Matan Torah, and again, we haven't seen the verses referred to Matan Torah, but in that context, the Hashem, when giving us the written Torah, was trying to convey the fact that we can't possibly understand the written Torah with the oral Torah. And if you want to understand, if you want to arrive at the correct date that the Torah was given, you have to then, you can only understand it, you can only know what that date is by accepting and following the oral Torah. In addition, the oral Torah is something that is very special because it means that Hashem gave it, put it really in our power, obviously within confined rules, but to be creative with the Torah, to interpret and to make the Torah something that's personal and to ensure a type of accuracy that's given to us and that wasn't able to be realized by other nations. So I think because of this indispensability of the oral Torah, when it came to the date of Matan Torah, so we should only be able to arrive there by appreciating and interpreting it through by means of the oral Torah. So that's Shavuot. And we understand Shavuot is Man Matan Torah Teinu. That's what we say in their davening, in Kiddush. But as we've seen, the verses that speak about Shavuot, so they don't connect it explicitly to Matan Torah. But if you work out the math, so we have to look at the verses that do mention Matan Torah. So we go back to Sefer Shemot. It tells us approximately what day the Torah was given. So that matches up. So then we say the Torah was given on Shavuot. The problem there is that even when it comes to Matan Torah, we're not given an explicit date. Look at source number 8, where Torah tells us around where Matan Torah happened. For anyone who came a little bit after, I'll just copy the source in the chat again. So the Torah gives us an idea of when Matan Torah occurred. It says in source number 8, Bachodesh Hashlishi, in the third month, we count the first month from Nisan, so that's the month of Sivan. It says B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Yisrael, when the Jews left Egypt. Yom Hazeh Bo Bid Mar Sinai. And on this day, it doesn't tell us what day this is, but it says on this day, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. And Vayomar Hashem El Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, he's telling them to get ready. Lake Elam, go to the people, Bikidashem Hayomu Machar, have a process of preparation, of purification. And then they should be ready on the third day, because on the third day, Hashem will descend before the eyes of the people upon Mount Sinai. So we're not told when this is, okay? It's the month of Sivan, so we have about a month to, you know, subtract 3. We know we need at least 3 days, but we don't really know when it is. So the Talmud quotes a discussion between the sages and Rabbi Yossi about when Shavuot is. The sages say Shavuot falls on the 6th day of Sivan, and Rabbi Yossi says that Shavuot falls on the 7th day of the month. So which one is it? So in source number 10, the Talmud says that everyone agrees to a few things. Everyone agrees that the people arrived in the wilderness of Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, because it says, Bayom Hazeh, Bo Midbar Sinai. It says, Bayom Hazeh, when it says Hazeh, that refers to the head, because it's all the head or the first, because it says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. That this month, meaning this month, it refers to Rosh Chodesh. It says, everyone agrees that they came to the Sinai Desert on Rosh Chodesh. And everyone agrees also that the Torah was given on Shabbos. The question just now is, when is Rosh Chodesh? So it's somewhat of a complicated calculation for each of them, how they determine when Rosh Chodesh was, because and how we get to then the giving of the giving of the Torah. Rabbi Yossi says that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, and he says that then the between the process of preparation, then the Shabbos that occurred after the Sunday was the 7th of Sivan. The rabbis, if you go on to the second page, maintain that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, and then it was 6 days later. Then Shabbos was 6 days later. So for our purposes, basically what we need to know is just the difference in date. That Rabbi Yossi says it was on the 7th day, that Shabbos was on the 7th day, and the rabbi said that Shabbos was on the 6th day. And I updated the source sheet this morning, and I put next to the date of Matan Torah section, I put a chart that gives the whole flow of events. And if anyone wants, I have my email address on the top of the sheet, and we can discuss more about how exactly the calculation went, because it's a little bit complicated. But for our purposes, if everyone agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbat, so the question was that Shabbat the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan? And it seems like in the end, in source number 12, the Talmud defends the position of Rabbi Yossi that the Torah was given on the seventh and says that Moshe added another day of separation between husband and wife. So then you had 3 days instead of 2 days. So it seems like at least the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that the Torah was given on the seventh is accepted or at least defended. But what's the problem? If we accept that the counting of the Omer, the counting up until Shavuot, begins on the second day of Pesach, so you land on the sixth of Sivan. And so when we celebrate Shavuot, we celebrate Shavuot on the sixth of Sivan. You can't have it both ways. I mean, we know how to arrive at Shavuot. The question is, okay, when do we start counting? But we know how to arrive. We count 7 weeks. 7 weeks goes to the sixth of Sivan. Meaning, why don't we just say, Rabbi Yossi, forget about how many days the married couples had to separate. Just say, it's on the sixth of Sivan because we started counting. We just counted 49 days. The 50th day is the sixth of Sivan. And if the Talmud seems to at least be able to defend the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that it's on the seventh day and says that Moshe requested that and then Hashem listened to his request. So then why do we celebrate Shavuot on the sixth day? If we're celebrating Shavuot on the sixth day, so seemingly, how do we say it's Zman Matan Torateinu? Happens to be, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we have 2 days of Yom Tov anyway, but the primary holiday was instituted on the sixth day of Yom Tov. So let's say you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have 1 day of Shavuot. What do you mean, Zman Matan Torateinu? Then it's a weekday when the Torah was given. So the Magen Avraham, the Avraham Gumbiner in the 17th century, notes the difficulty here. So it's number 13. He says it's difficult. How do we say that Shavuot is Zman Matan Torateinu, the day of the giving of our Torah? Because he says, don't we conclude like Rabbi Yossi that the Torah was given on the seventh of Sivan? And he says, after the ellipses, it also says that in our calendar, Shavuot is always on the sixth of Sivan. But if the Torah was given on, or Shavuot is on the 50th day, but it would seem that the Torah was given on the 51st day. So what does it say about Shavuot being Zman Matan Torateinu? How do we say that? It seems almost dishonest. It seems like we don't celebrate Shavuot on the correct day. So I think there are a couple of aspects about this that teach us that our celebration of Shavuot is not, we're not evading celebrating Shavuot on the correct day. If anything, we are celebrating Shavuot on an appropriate day to appreciate its significance and the lessons that we're supposed to learn from it. So number one, what's a defense of the idea of celebrating Shavuot on the sixth when Matan Torah was really on the seventh? So one defense the Magen Avraham quotes is that it refers to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galil. So it refers to outside of Eretz Yisrael where we keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi says that's when we observe Shavuot. You observe it on second day of Yom Tov. So it seems like in Israel, they get shortchanged. But we, in practice, will be making Kiddush, we'll be davening on the actual Zman Matan Torateinu. But, okay, it's really only defense if you live outside of Israel. Also, the institution of second day Yom Tov didn't happen for 2,000 years, at least the permanent thing, after the giving of the Torah. So it seems a little bit difficult on the surface to say that's how we can justify it because it's on the second day of Yom Tov. But perhaps consistent with what we suggested before, that Shavuot is meant to emphasize the importance and indispensability of the oral Torah. And the second day Yom Tov is entirely a feature of the oral Torah, of the tradition that was transmitted to the sages and allowed them to institute certain things like the second day of Yom Tov, to institute certain safeguards. And therefore, we're appreciating the process that was given at Har Sinai of interpreting Torah according to the tools that were given. And therefore, it's not a problem to say that the actual date of the giving of the written Torah was the day after, because on Har Sinai, we were given those mechanisms to interpret the oral Torah. So we're celebrating that, and we're acknowledging that that's an indispensable part of our practice of the Torah. But perhaps what arguably is more compelling is maybe Shavuot isn't meant to, and even when we say Zman Matan Torateinu, it may not be a commemoration or a marking of the day that we actually received the Torah. Now, I don't want to stop now and get in trouble to say, oh, we didn't receive the Torah on Shavuot, right? I could get into trouble by saying that. So what might we be saying Zman Matan Torateinu? What might be marking on Shavuot? So I read a very compelling idea from Rabbi J.J. Schachter, and he said, because maybe Shavuot, what we're celebrating is the preparation or the culmination of the preparation for receiving the Torah. Maybe the end of that preparation is in some ways more significant for receiving the Torah than the actual experience of receiving it itself. And this is supported by what the Sefer HaChinuch says about the mitzvah of Svirat HaOmer. Sefer HaChinuch went through the 613 mitzvot and tried to give a reason for each of the mitzvot. So he says, why do we count? We don't count up to any other holiday. So he says the whole point of the count is really to prepare us for receiving the Torah. He says that the essence of the Jewish people and the purpose of their redemption was to receive the Torah. Right? We weren't redeemed just to be free and to, you know, be more prosperous. The whole purpose of being redeemed and taken out of Egypt was to receive the Torah. So therefore, we're commanded to go and tally from the day after the holiday of Pesach to show ourselves about the great desire that we have for that exalted day when we'll receive the Torah. And he compares it to like when a slave is, or a prisoner is scheduled to go free. Let's say they know they're going free 2 months from now. So they're probably marking the days on the calendar. They're yearning for that date so badly that they're, and every day they're becoming more excited about it and marking that that day is one day closer to that event that they're anticipating and that will be significant for them. So the same is true for our acceptance of the Torah. You couldn't just receive the Torah in a vacuum. We have to count down, we have to count up to this day. We have to, and perhaps the culmination of that process, which occurred on the 6th of Sivan, is maybe more significant than the day itself, because that's when we completed the process of preparation. So essentially, on Shavuot, maybe we're not saying this is the day that we stood at Har Sinai, but we're saying this is the day when we completed the process of becoming ready to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. And that may be more important than the actual experience of the Torah, of being at Har Sinai on the following day. Another reason why Hashem perhaps didn't tell us the date, or make it clear that the date that we received the Torah, or even for that matter, connecting Chag HaShavuot with Matan Torah, at least in the Torah, was to emphasize that the giving of the Torah doesn't have a date per se. That the date, we want to avoid focusing on a particular date. And the Kli Yakar says, why isn't the giving of the Torah, the event of the giving of the Torah, mentioned in connection with the holiday of Shavuot? He says, Lo rotz Hashem lahagvil yom yadua. He didn't want to explicitly mention that this is the day of the giving of the Torah, because he didn't want to limit it to a particular day. Why not? Because a person should feel that every single day of the year that they receive the Torah from Mount Sinai on that day. That's not just, it's a nice idea, but I think it's not only a nice idea. That why should that be? Because every time you learn Torah, you receive something new. It's not just the same Torah that was there. We uncover things and we see something new, and Hashem gives us the ability to appreciate new things in the Torah every day. And we didn't want to emphasize a particular day to say, oh, well, this is the day that we focus on Torah, but the other days of the year aren't as significant as far as receiving the Torah. And no, the Torah is given every day. And I recently saw an idea from Rabbi Aaron Kotler, the founder of the Lakewood Yeshiva, and he says that we don't have a formal mitzvah of remembering the giving of the Torah. Of course, we have to believe that the Torah was given at Har Sinai, but unlike, let's say, the mitzvah to remember the Exodus, we don't have a formal mitzvah to remember, per se, the day of the giving of the Torah. And that's because a person should always view the Torah as being given every day, the Torah as being new every day, and being new and fresh, and that's why Hashem wanted to avoid emphasizing a particular day. Of course, we observe Shavuot on a particular day, but he wanted that not to be the main emphasis. And this can be seen in the Birkas HaTorah that we say before learning Torah. We say, Baruch atah Hashem, notein HaTorah. Blessed is God, not the one in the past tense who gave us the Torah, but the giver of the Torah, the one who currently gives the Torah. So while on Shavuot, we consider and we do celebrate the fact that the Torah was given either on that day or the following day, and of course we have to reinforce our belief in the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai, both the written Torah and the oral Torah, but we should stay away. The message is we shouldn't focus too much on the particular day. We shouldn't emphasize Torah on Shavuot more on Shavuot than on any other day of the year, because on every day of the year, every time we learn Torah, every time we go to a shir, every time we think of something new, that's a current event of receiving the Torah. And hopefully during this time, during this last week, when we prepare for Shavuot, so one, we remember the first lesson of the fact that the oral Torah is an indispensable part of understanding the written Torah. But and also that the Torah, to appreciate the Torah and make ourselves worthy of receiving the Torah, they require preparation. And the giving of the Torah is something that's current and something that should always be fresh in our mind. And to appreciate that every time we learn Torah, we're gaining something new. And this is something, a tremendous gift that Hashem gives us. And as we say in the Birkas HaTorah, Laravna, the Torah should always be sweet, should always be fresh. And we should keep that in mind every day of the year, and as we come to Shavuot and as we prepare to make ourselves ready and to try to connect with the Torah in a new way and in a more special way. So thank you so much, Chag Shavuot Sameach. Thank you very much again to the Rebbetzin Lipner and to the Bayit and for everyone for coming out today.